Welcome to another edition of Insights for Today with pastor and educator, Dr. Paul Cates. For the past 40 years, Dr. Cates has devoted himself to childhood development, education, and spiritual training, as well as pastoral ministry. This podcast is designed to be an encouragement to anyone of any age who desires to live effectively as a Christian. Now, Dr. Cates.
This is the first in a series of sermons that we are going to place on the website, talking about some key issues as it affects our spiritual lives as well as our walk with the Lord on a daily basis. The first message I wish to share with you is Holy Day versus Holiday. Over the centuries, it always seems that the secular world looks at certain events in one way, and we as believers look at those same events in an entirely different way. When pop culture transforms a holy day into a holiday, it almost always manages to focus on the wrong side of that equation. Let me give you an example. We have just celebrated a day in the eyes of the Orthodox Church, representing All Saints Day, and the world has celebrated a holiday called Halloween. We look at Christmas, and the world looks at the number of shopping days left until Christmas, and that is what is important to them. But to us as believers, what should be important to us are the 12-day period between the Christmas Day miracle, when God sent our Savior, and the season of Epiphany. Unfortunately for many believers, those 12 days are very almost virtually unknown, and that is a shame. A huge party, Mardi Gras, or Fat Tuesday, is not as important as the world does look at it, as the 40 days of Lent that follows. We, as the believers, should be focusing our emphasis on the 40 days that follows. Eating all your chocolate bunnies before breakfast on Easter morning is not as important for us as rejoicing over living a resurrection faith on Easter afternoon. A day or so ago, the world was preparing to throw itself into a spooky, kooky, All Hallows party called Halloween. And that should not be as important to us as the celebration it fronts for, which for us as believers is All Saints Day and the All Souls Day. Outwitting spooky spirits on Halloween is not essential to Christian discipleship, but remembering the saints is important to us. Celebrating our ancestors in the faith, those men, those women, some of them that are known, some of them unknown, some esteemed, some not esteemed, who lived and died furthering our Christian faith. That is the holy day the church needs to hold up to the world in 2010. This is the church triumphant versus us, the church militant. The terms that I'm using for many believers are totally unknown. The Roman Catholic Church calendar established a two-day series of special masses and prayers that follow All Hallows Eve, All Saints Day, which occurs on November 1st, and All Souls Day on November 2nd. All Saints Day commemorates the faithful who have achieved heavenly status, and All Souls Day is a day to pray for family members and the unseen saints of the world. There is an historical argument that can be made for All Saints Day and All Souls Day being the most under-celebrated church holiday in the post-Reformation church. The eagerness of our living generations to stay connected to past generations who have gone to heaven before us is important, both that we keep in contact with prayers and in practice is very important. For Orthodox Christians, the dead are still an active part of us, the living, and past generations still have something to offer this present generation. It is sad. We know so little about our forefathers. We know so little about the past generations. We know so little about the early dynamic Christian church. We know so little about the time after the apostles and the early church fathers and what they said, what they preached, what they stood for. It is hard for some of us to make that kind of connection anymore today. People used to know their family trees as well as they knew their own furniture. But the USA has always been a country made up of new arrivals. And for some of us, the past is a total blur. After generations of being on the move and unattached, there are now internet sites that offer help to find out our ancestry. At Ancestry.com, the appearance of a single leaf next to a name is a signal that there is more information that's available. But many of us don't have family trees. We don't have a familiar forest of known relatives we can point to and we proudly can claim as our own. Some of us have family blackberry bushes, but that, I mean, unwieldy, twisted, briar patch knots that are way too thorny to investigate without us getting hurt. Whether you have a well-shaped family tree or an untamed bramble bush in your personal history, every member of the body of Christ still participates in the communion of the saints. No matter what you know or what you don't know about church history or about your own personal history, we all have common ancestors in the faith and personal knowledge of saints. We need to celebrate All Saints Day. Have you ever noticed that on every other street corner, almost, there's some kind of athletic center? Have you also noticed that late at night, just when you settle down with a bowl of double chocolate rockety road ice cream, the TV assaults you with gizmos and gadgets that promise to work off that dairy delight and get you back into shape? As a nation, we're getting more and more obese. 38 states now have adult obesity rates above 25%. In 1991, no state had an obesity rate above 20%. Our problem is that we don't do what we already know we need to do to get back into physical shape. Maybe that's why the flabbier we get, the more popular big muscles have become on TV. TV wrestlers used to be a joke. Now they are prime time, big time, money-making machines. Every week, A-list celebrities line up to the next host of WWE Raw. Our 21st century gladiators battle it out on cable instead of in the Coliseum. All Saints Day is the church's version of WWE Raw. It's our celebration of the church's most muscle-bound ancestors. It's also the church's challenge to each new generation to start flexing their own spiritual muscles. The saints are really those who must adhere to Jesus' cardiovascular soul exercises. The saints are those whose moral muscles, whose hearts and minds were stretched and they were strengthened, flexed and freed in ways the world has never seen before. Jesus' work regime for his followers and for all the saints to come involves rigorous activity. The ultimate spiritual muscle is the heart muscle, and it was extreme cardio exercise that Jesus proposed for his disciples. Like any good coach, Jesus gave his followers a goal. He gave them concrete steps they could take to reach that goal. Jesus' goal was nothing less than turning the me-first morality of this world on its head. The poor, the hunger, the sorrowing, they would become the blessed, the fulfilled, the laughing. Those reviled and cast out would become those who rejoiced and reaped heavenly rewards. Yes, there was only one way to achieve these miraculous transformations. It was simply three-word directive. By these three words turned all anticipated expectations and established interpretations on their head. Here are the three words, important in 2010. Love your enemies. Did you hear it? Love your enemies. No qualifications, no exceptions, no caveats or special conditions. Scripture says, love your enemies. The step-by-step moral muscle building Jesus offered were just as challenging. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Get smacked on one cheek. Offer the other. Lose your coat? Well, throw your shirt in as well. Give cheerfully and extravagantly. Don't expect to ever get anything back in return. Accept spiritual stamina. Accept moral musculature. Accept heart health and soul strength, neither of which can be measured by any cardiac monitor or stress test. So this day, let us celebrate the saints of our faith, the saints in the midst and the saints in the distant past. Let us celebrate this day those muscle-bound brothers and sisters that still stand among us. And as we celebrate them, let them inspire us to employ and embody Jesus' kingdom of God exercise regime. Let us be as motivated to develop astonishing spiritual muscles as we are physical muscles. Despite all opposition in the face of enemies who are genuinely deadly foes, the cardiac strength of a saint, the heart and soul muscles of a saint never wavers, never fails. This is our family tree. This is our spiritual legacy, no matter where we come from. At the cost of his life, Stephen reminded us that there are some things worth dying for. At the cost of his life, William Tyndale reminds us that there are some things worth dying for. And at the cost of his life, Jesus reminds us that there are some things worth dying for. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you as you study and you grow in his word. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Insights for Today with Dr. Paul Cates. For more information about his ministry and special services to homeschooling parents, please visit us on the web at paulcates.org. That's paulcates.org. And please feel free to share us with your friends. God bless you today.